Chase Willie and D Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game, 12 o'clock hour here on the show. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie Donick in New York City for the NHL broadcaster meetings. Titans, Bills tonight on Monday Night Football. Nationally, that game is on ESPN. Locally, you can watch it on Fox 17. And we say hello to the sports director at Fox 17. Jill Jelinek is on the line with us. Hello, Jill. How you doing?
What up, guys? Happy game day. Football, right?
I know. It's exciting because the Titans looking to improve their record on Monday Night Football in their last 10. They're 8-2. So, hey, that's a pretty good stat going up against a tough Bills team. But, Jill, we'll start with this. The news coming out, Josh Gordon going to be elevated from the practice squad tonight. Looks like he could be in the game. What do you think about that move?
Yeah, I think first thing it tells me, and Derek mentioned this earlier, but it doesn't look all too well for Kyle Phillips. He was questionable going into tonight's game. We'll figure out the status of him, most likely closer to kickoff. But, I mean, this is a Titans offense that they're still trying to figure out that wide receiver room in terms of who's going to be their number one guy. Who's going to be their number two guy? We didn't see a whole lot from Robert Woods last week. Would love to see more of him tonight. And wouldn't be completely surprised if they mix in a little bit of Josh Gordon. Big, strong wide receiver, fits into the Titans game plan. And hopefully, you know, he's mastered that playbook by now. When I interviewed Josh earlier last week, I asked him, you know, what has the transition been like? He says it's been busy every day. He's working on that playbook. He said that was the first priority as soon as he got to Nashville, learn that playbook. So hopefully he's much more comfortable with that now. But it's going to be all hands on deck. We knew that going into tonight, but now with Josh Gordon being elevated, I think we definitely know it's going to be a Titans all hands on deck against the Bills tonight.
Jill Jelinek is with us. You've been here for a little over a year, covered this team now, and you've gotten to know, being around them every day at practice and listening to Mike Vrabel, that, you know, this is a guy that they just love to play for, and he has that player's mentality. So with that said, why do you think he has such an ability to, even after a bad week, going into a situation where nobody's picking the Titans, everybody thinks that Buffalo is just going to run away with it, but for whatever reason, he finds a way to get his team all bought in, and they find ways to win. Why do you think Vrabel is so good at that?
It's the culture that he has created. And why specifically is he so good at that? You mentioned it. Former player. Also comes from great coaching pedigree and great coaching tray under Coach Belichick for so many years. He has figured out a way to not just create a culture in his 5 years here, but make sure that his guys coming in and out of that practice facility every single day are following the steps of that culture, are practicing that culture. What specifically is that? Several variables, including team. But there's not a whole lot of drama kings on this Titans team. They've never really been a part of that. That hasn't been their MO. I think that goes back to the culture, and exactly what Mike Vrabel has really tried to instill in them is a selflessness, guys playing for each other. I think the other part of this culture is this kind of a blue-collar feel. Kevin Byard used that phrase to describe the Titans. He also used it to describe the Bills when talking about the matchup between these two teams. He said the Titans and Bills are blue-collar teams. We're not flashy. We're not sparkly. We're hard-working players and teams, and we're going to do the grind, whatever it takes to get the job done. I think that's very much a part of what Mike Vrabel has built in his time there at Tennessee, hard-working players that put their teammates before themselves, and also kind of a us-against-the-world mentality. I know we've said that for a while now, especially last year when no one thought the Titans were going to be able to do what they did, and they, especially after they got spanked by the Cardinals in week one. But then they went on, took the first place seed in the AFC, kind of shushed everybody for a while. They have a us-against-the-world mentality. I think it also comes from being not a huge market here in Nashville, right? We don't get a lot of national media attention. All of those things play a factor And I think this team has found a way to embrace that underdog mentality. They were underdogs last year against the Bills on Monday Night Football, and they won. They're underdogs again this year. It's going to take a whole lot of them, all four quarters, but I really think it starts with Vrabel and the culture he's established in his 5 years in Tennessee.
Jill Jelinek, Fox 17, is with us. And before I throw the ball over to my wide receiver, you will have a pregame show starting at 5:30. You all do have the game tonight, the local coverage of the game, but a pregame show at 5:30 featuring one Derek Mason.
Yes, that is right. I'm so excited to have Derek join us. I can't wait to ask him all my tough questions. I got a lot of curveballs coming your way, Derek. So we're going to break it all down, and looking forward to that show. By the way, our Titans pregame show will be on the rooftop of Acme Feed and Seed. So it will be a great backdrop with Nissan in the back, a great environment. And like you said, the pregame show will roll right into the broadcast of the game at 6:15.
Now, Jill, now that Josh Gordon has been elevated, we still don't know the status of Kyle Phillips, whether he will play or not. We know he's questionable, and it will be a game-time decision. But we talked earlier about this being an opportunity to get Treylon Burks truly involved in his offense. I said this is a game where, you know, there's no more take the training wheels off the bike, let the kid ride, let him go, let him see what he – let everyone see what he has, especially on Monday Night Football. And I just believe, Jill, they need to target him as many times as possible, because he's one of only few guys on that offense that I believe that can really be a game changer.
D-Mace, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's funny you put it like that. They need to specifically target him, because we talked to offensive coordinator Todd Downing this week specifically about play calling. How do you choose, you know, which wide receiver do you go to? Is it always going to be this guy, this guy? Of course it's situation specific, right? What's the defense playing? What's the situation in the game? You down, you up? Where are you in the game? All of those factors play a role. But Todd Downing said there are times when they say, okay, we need to get all to this guy. He's either got a hot hand, he's reliable, or Tannehill's just really feeling that chemistry with him. And I think the reason why we just haven't seen that yet, obviously, with Treylon, is he's only played one NFL game, right? He's he's a rookie. But he hasn't shown us that he can't be that guy, right? He had a pretty solid week in week one, came up with a couple nice catches when the Titans needed him to. I think you're right, D-Mace. This is a great opportunity for them to specifically target Treylon Burks, him the ball, switch up the play calling a little bit more, whether it's that they run the ball with Derrick Henry first down, switch, go to him on second down. I think this is a great opportunity for them to give him some more opportunities. But, you know, to be honest, I also want to see more Austin Hooper. I also want to see a little bit more Robert Woods. And, again, this is a Titans kind of receiving core that there's still a lot of question marks. Okay, let's get those answers tonight. Let's get them all, see what they can do, make plays happen. But you know what? As much as I want to see these wide receivers take off, I also want to see Derrick Henry run the ball. I want to see him going early. So this is a Titans offense with so much potential. I would love for this to be their coming out game. How about that?
That would be great, Jill. Also, now that Christian Fulton is out, you're going to have basically two rookies. I know Caleb Farley's not a rookie, but he hasn't played many games. I think
Correct.
The last time he played, he got hurt, which was against Buffalo. So you got Roger McQuarrie and Caleb Farley. Do you expect this defense to be more conservative, considering who they're playing?
I don't know if I'm going to use the word conservative. D-Mace, I'm going to go with cautious, right? You make a great point. We have two young cornerbacks in that secondary. So what does that mean? That means the pressure is going to be on the pass rush. They got to get to Josh Allen. They got to make him uncomfortable. They have to get Josh Allen out of his game. And that's tough to do because he has one of the best games of any quarterback in the league, right? He has a great arm. He can run the ball, create plays, and also has a ton of great weapons to throw to. I think the pressure is on that pass rush. Make him uncomfortable and specifically be cautious. Jeffrey Simmons used that word this week when we were talking to him about how do you contain Josh Allen, how do you slow him down. He said you be cautious, you constrict the pocket. He wants to move. He wants to be on the run. He wants to roll and look and create plays with his legs. Jeffrey Simmons said the key is going to be constricting him as much as possible from the get-go, and then let the edge rushers give enough time for the edge rushers to come around and put all sorts of pressure on him. When you do that, you try to take him out of his game, and then that also relieves some pressure on the young secondary that the Titans are going to have to roll out with tonight.
She is Jill Jelinek of Fox 17, their sports director. You can catch their pregame coverage starting at 5:30 from the rooftop of Acme Feed and Seed, and then you'll have some postgame coverage as well, correct?
Yes, sir. As soon as that game is over, I'm excited to hopefully bring to you some really fun, exciting Titans highlights. I'll have those ready to go as soon as the game's over. It will go straight into Fox 17's postgame show, so I'll have about 15 minutes just breaking down the game, and that's where we'll also have our other buddy Chris Sanders sprinting on over, hopefully get him in the studio to break down some of that tape too. So I'm just this is a team effort with B Mace, Chris Sanders, and you, Chase. We're just got Titans coverage all over the tonight.
I love it. Jill, thanks as always, and we'll be watching tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Go Titans.
There is Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 Sports Director, joining us here on the show. D-Mace will be a part of that starting at 5:30 tonight. He'll be on our show as well, of course, from 3:45 to 5:45. It's the magic of how things work. But that will be happening tonight as well. Coming up next, as we continue the conversation on the Titans, 615-737-1025, a big one. Can the Titans' offensive line handle the Bills' defensive line? We'll discuss that coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, the game. But first, you know how much I love Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. When I'm out and about watching games, went to Atlanta Friday night, had me one. I love a chilled Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey shot. You can have it as a drink as well. You can have it as a peanut butter old-fashioned, espresso martini, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur. Doesn't matter. Just go to screwballwhiskey.com for more recipes, and you can ask for it by name when you're at your favorite bar. But the reason that I like it so much is it's an original, just like me, just like the suit. It's also the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world. It's made with real whiskey, peanuts, and peanut butter, and that gives it its natural flavor and makes it go down smooth. So when you're out and about with your friends and somebody says, hey, let's get around, order it by name, say, I want a Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and do like I do. But also do like I do, enjoy it responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you, talking Titans and Bills in Monday Night Football. I do like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. Very good. Coming back. Tanner Janot, Preds Forward, going to join us at 12:45 as they got a special event tonight that we'll tell you about, and also training camp going to open here in a couple days. But can the Titans' offensive line handle the Bills' defensive line? That is going to be a huge test for the Titans tonight. Their head coach, Mike Vrabel, discuss that. And do we have that clip, Nick? Okay. Their head coach, Mike Vrabel, discussed that last week.
7 sacks last week, and they did it mostly without blitzing and things like that. How much of a challenge is that for your line?
They have a good front. You know, they have a good front. They're active. And, you know, again, we're going to have to be balanced and try to be able to do some things that just doesn't make it a drop-back game. I mean, if it's a drop-back game, that – they're really good, and they proved that last week. And you know, we'll have to block them and try to do some things. But they're very good players, and they rotate them through. They're very comfortable playing a lot of guys.
Yeah, and Von Miller is one of those guys. I mean, the guy that I think everybody is probably concerned about when you're looking at the Titans' offensive line is Nicholas Petit-Frere, the rookie. Mm-hmm. The PT, as Chris Sanders likes to call him.
Or PR, whatever.
But Petit-Frere there at the right tackle position because, I mean, if you're a veteran D-line like Von Miller in that pass rush, I mean, that's the guy you're going to key in on.
Yeah, you are, but here's, you know, I think with Buffalo, it really doesn't matter with them because they believe that whether it's Nicholas or Taylor, they can get pressure on the quarterback. So we've seen, you know, Taylor get pushed around and that's truly uncharacteristic of him, but it does happen. He's not, you know, he's not the Taylor of old. He's getting a little long in the tooth, but he's still a good player in this league. So, you know, whether Vaughn is on, you know, the right side, which would be the left side of the Titans, or if he's on the left side, which is the right side, they feel comfortable at rushing him from either side against either either tackle. So it's going to be important for the Tennessee Titans to get help. I know they will start off with help with Nicholas, but they're going to have to get help, too, with Taylor because Vaughn sacks came to the left tackle side against the Rams. So he's one of those guys that, you know, yes, he can play both sides, but it seems to me he feels comfortable on his right, which is the Titans' left. So whether they're allowing Taylor to go one-on-one with them or they're chipping and trying to get help, I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to show him the utmost respect, and they should.
Yeah.
So whether it be helping Taylor Lewan or helping Nicholas, they're going to have to do that if they want Ryan Tannehill to have time to throw the football. But then they also – Buffalo gets a rush up front too. I mean, those guys up front and in the middle, they push the pocket. So this may be a game where Ryan Tannehill has to get outside the pocket and make plays, not just with his legs, but with his arms as well.
So along those lines, quarterback making plays. I heard Robbie and Rexrow discuss this a little bit this morning. Would you consider tonight throwing in some packages with Malik Willis? Is tonight when you try and do something?
I doubt if Vrabel does that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it, but I doubt if they do. I think they believe enough in Ryan Tannehill that they can run all those plays they have from Malik.
Yeah, he can.
They can run them for Ryan too. Because Ryan is just as good an athlete and a runner, or maybe even better than Malik Willis, and he's shown it. So if there are packages for Malik, they could throw him in there, but then they also can run those plays, you know, with Ryan Tannehill in the backfield. So, but they're gonna have to keep that Bills defense off balance because this is not a defense that blitz. This is not a defense that tries to create opportunities by blitzing. No, they feel that we got Von Miller and we got these guys up front. We don't need to blitz. We can just rush the passer, you know? So they're not going to, you know, those gadget plays that you want to run, you run those against blitzing defenses, you know? You don't run that against defenses that sit basically in a zone and can see everything. Because if you run this trick play, it doesn't work. Now you didn't show it to the world. You better make sure they're playing the right defense for you to run that play. Because if it doesn't, then it backfires on you.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of kind of running creative, different type gadget plays, I mean, Todd Downey admitted the call of the Chickaconquo end around that was on him, and you know, hindsight being 2020, it was the wrong call. At that time.
To me, that was almost one of the. I don't think he should have done it. I really don't.
No.
Not run the play. I'm saying I don't think he should have apologized for it.
Yeah, because you said that the execution.
Exactly.
Wasn't there.
It's and I understand he doesn't want to throw his players under the bus, but if you listen to Vrabel all the time, If you listen, just pay attention to him. He will tell you. He will not name players. His thing is, we just need to execute better. He's not naming a player. He's just saying, we need to execute better. And on that play, we, meaning that offensive line, needed to execute that play better. It wasn't the wrong call. It wasn't executed the way that they called it. If it's executed the way that they called it, then that play works. As a play caller in that situation, don't second guess yourself. Run the play, and you expect the guys to go out there and do what is supposed to be done in order for that play to work. I just don't agree with him. It's like we need offensive coordinators with some gumph, man. If I called that play, I figured that was the right play at the right time. We did not block it right. That's basically, you ain't putting nobody on blast, no one player on blast. You're saying we didn't execute the play right. To go back and say, you know, maybe that was my fault. Man. Now what you've given people is the opportunity to jump on you even more when the play doesn't work.
Right.
Because they're going to ask you that question again. And you might give them and say, well, maybe I shouldn't have called it. Don't second guess yourself. They're not doing your job. Your job is hard. None of them that second guessed, that said you should have ran some other play, they couldn't do your job if they tried. That was the right play. It was block wrong. I know it was block wrong. I saw it being block wrong. Hell, we've ran plays like that where I blocked it wrong and then it got blown up. And it wasn't on the offensive coordinator. It was on me individually, but the offensive coordinator would have never said Derek Mason didn't block the play right. He would say, we didn't execute the play the way we were supposed to execute it. And that's not blaming one person, but that's letting guys know, hey, listen, next time we need to make sure we do our job in order for plays to work around here.
Coming up next, we'll get into some college football from over the weekend. And discuss some of that, including a big matchup coming up this weekend between Tennessee and Florida. But it's my time to tell you about somebody I'm excited to be working with, Superbook Sports, Superbook Tennessee. From Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. You don't need to be at the game to enjoy football this fall. Just download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com. and start placing your bets now. I got the app on my phone. It's easy to use. I love it. Right now, Superbook has lines up for every pro football game for the rest of the season. Plus, which team will win the title, who's your MVP, and who will surprise in the SEC. Wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports. Along with football, Superbook accepts wagers on every other major sport. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hands, and now Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. Get in the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here today. Willie is at the NHL broadcast meetings. We'll talk to Tanner Jeannot, Preds forward, coming up at 12:45. Get his thoughts on some things, including an event tonight. But the Vols with a huge win over the weekend, Derek, 63-6 over Akron. Akron not very good, but the Vols, I think, needed to flex their muscles. A tough fought win over Pittsburgh the week before. They're 3-0 on the season as they get ready for the Florida Gators on Saturday. ESPN bringing game day to Knoxville. I believe I read there's going to be three different pregame shows that are going to be in Knoxville, including game day this weekend. It's the 2:30 CBS game of the week between these two teams, and the Vols are in a place where they need to win this game. They need to be 4-0. They need to beat Florida to really show people that they are truly back. And I know Hendon Hooker, Josh Heupel, spoke to the media earlier today. Hendon Hooker was saying that, you know, he doesn't feel like he's played even at his best yet. But, you know, I look at Hendon Hooker. This was on – Peter Burns put this out, a stat that blows my mind. Since becoming the starter for Vols football, Hendon Hooker, 42 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's amazing.
Good Lord.
And you know, he wants to say he hasn't played his best yet. Okay, cool.
Well, if you haven't played your best, then good Lord. I mean, I can't wait to see when your best is upon us. Because this young man has played extremely well since becoming the starter for the Vols. Listen, he has weapons in the pass game. He has weapons in the run game. You know, this is a young man that is running that Josh Heupel offense the way it needs to be ran. Josh Heupel knew, you know, he would put up a lot of points in this offense. This offense creates points. That's just what it does. I mean, if I'm a recruit, I would love to play in this offense because you're going to get an opportunity to make plays, you know, each and every game. And with a quarterback like Hendon Hooker, he gives that ability not only to – he's making all the right reads, he's doing all the right things, but also he can make plays running the football as well. You know, so – this offense will carry them. Now, the defense, you know, the defense has done some good things, but they also have given up some points, too. So this upcoming week, I mean, this is almost like, you know, this is their – if they win this game, I think they run the tables until they play – when do they play Georgia?
They play Georgia.
And I'm just talking about in the East. I'm not talking about the SEC as a whole because they – I mean, the battle versus Alabama, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, well, here's the stretch that they're about to go on. So they play Florida this week at home. They're at LSU, which is still going to be a tough game. But
yeah,
because
it's
I'm
at
not,
LSU.
I'm
yeah.
not as concerned about LSU as I was. Then they play Alabama in Knoxville on October 15th. They play Georgia November 5th, but they got Kentucky the week before that, and that's not going to be easy.
So this whole gauntlet, but starting with this Florida game, I think this is like a – this is one of those games that jump-starts their season for them. They had a tough matchup versus Pitt. It was a back-and-forth game. They held strong, and they won that game. But this Florida game will help jumpstart their SEC play. They get this Florida game, and they win it in such a fashion that they dominate because I just think they're a better team than Florida. Florida's a good team, but not better than UT.
I'm gonna tell you this about Florida. Because
you know this game is always – it's that game. Yeah.
It's that game. But South Florida almost beat Florida on Saturday. 31-28 was the final, and South Florida was leading that game. At points in time, I don't think I'm not going to say that I think Florida is a bad team. I think they're a team in transition. Billy Napier just got there, trying to figure out what pieces he has.
They had a big win early.
Yeah, they're trying to establish a culture. So I believe that Tennessee is the better team, and because of that, should win the game, barring anything crazy that always seems to happen in a Tennessee Florida game. Tennessee is a better team on paper. I believe as the season goes on, Florida is going to realize that they got a ways to go, and they're going to get beat up. And by the time they get to late in the season, they're going to lose a game that they probably shouldn't lose. And I think it's going to
Florida.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think it could be – I know I'm going out on a limb here. Vandy's going to steal an SEC win somewhere.
So you think it's going to be Florida?
I think it's likely Missouri that Vandy gets that win, but you never know. I've seen crazier things happen.
Yeah, I mean, that would have to be really, really crazy. Like, really, really
but
crazy.
But you get to that point in the season and you're beat up and you're just like, all right, let's just get to the end.
But Vandy could be beat up too.
Could be.
Yeah. But I think this is a. This game is a jump start for Tennessee in regards to the SEC because this gauntlet they're going to go on. I don't think, you know, before the season I looked at the Alabama game and said, well, this is Alabama by at least 2-3 touchdowns. The more I look at Alabama, I still believe as long as Nick Saban is the coach, this team is in the hunt to win a national championship. But I think this year Tennessee is much closer to Alabama than what people originally would have thought.
Yep.
Because this team, if they can get this defense sort of tooled out and everybody on the same page. This offense to score with anybody in college football.
Sure.
This offense with this quarterback. They just need the defense to sort of, you know, pick it up into SEC play. So I don't look at that Alabama game as a lock win for Alabama, especially in Knoxville. And I've already called out that they would beat Georgia.
If
they beat Georgia, they are winning the East.
Yeah.
And they will find themselves in the SEC championship.
Yeah, you got to beat Kentucky, though.
Yeah. Kentucky little cats. Last time I said little cats, they end up
winning. You cannot overlook Kentucky.
No, Kentucky's a good football team. I say that because I mess with Emily.
Yeah.
And she's a big Kentucky fan. But no, Kentucky's a good team. So they got to go on this gauntlet of LSU, but LSU is not the same LSU that, you know, that they have been in the past. They got LSU. Well, they got Florida, LSU, Alabama, then Georgia. Well, Kentucky, then Georgia.
Yeah, you got UT Martin in there, too.
Yeah, but let's kind of put that one to the side. But that gauntlet right there,
if they can win,
what is that, four games? If they can win four out of the five, then they're good. But none of their losses.
But you got to beat Florida.
Yeah, none of their losses can be in the SEC East.
Correct.
They can't lose to Kentucky, and they can't lose to Georgia or Florida.
Gotta
they can get away with losing to Alabama.
Sure. And even LSU to an extent.
But exactly.
The thing that worries me about LSU is, let's just say they win an emotional battle against Florida and they have the hangover.
Yeah, that can't happen. But you would hope that this team that Josh Heupel has put together, they got enough veterans on that team that they won't travel down that road of getting so high because they beat Florida. Well, you beat Florida because you should have beat them. You're the better team. So, you know, beating Georgia is one of those games that I would maybe expect the next following week to be a down week because Georgia is the best team in the country.
Some quotes that came out of today. I love this one from Josh Heupel. I knew the importance of this game 30 seconds after I took the job.
Yeah, you did.
Which is true. And then Wes Rucker put this out. Quarterback Hendon Hooker said, quote, "I haven't played to my standard this season, but we've been winning games, which is all I'm looking for in the end, but I need to play better." Hendon Hooker on the grade he gave himself from last year's game at Florida, a D. I hold myself at a high standard. I love that.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, it first starts with self-evaluating, doing self-evaluations, and then, you know, you go at everybody else's, you know, evaluation of you or whatnot. But he understood that, listen, I evaluated myself after that game, and I played horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I need to play better.
Absolutely. Nate, on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, I got 30 seconds. What's up, Nate? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think that the Vols were looking ahead to Florida in about the first half of the game, and then once Akron was going after Hooker's knees, Heupel said, okay, that's enough. We're running this up. If they didn't go after Hooker's knees, I don't know that the score would have been 63-6.
Okay. Interesting take. Appreciate the call. It may be right, but look, I think sometimes you see a mismatch like that. The other team has adrenaline. They're fired up. They think that, okay, here we go. They stay in it a little bit, and then it's like the cat and mouse game. Then the cat finally goes in for the kill.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
I play around with you for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then
let smack. You think you got a chance. Like I've seen my mom's cat catch a mouse, and she'll let that thing go. And the thing is like it's tired and it's beat up. It's like, all right, I can see freedom. And then bam, gone. Ball game. It's over. And so that's exactly what I think happened. There's an event that the Predators are a part of tonight. Coming up next, we will talk to Tanner Janot. He will join Chase Willie and D-Mace next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Louisville Bats, AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. You can also check out our Nashville Deals of the Week. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. We hope to catch up with Tanner Jeannot in just a second as they got a big event tonight at Vanderbilt. You saw this a few weeks ago. The Predators announced this along with Vanderbilt Baseball that Predators and Vanderbilt to host Smashville Showdown. That is tonight. Fans can buy tickets to see Predators players, Vanderbilt student athletes compete in a home run derby and then a softball game for charity at Hawkins Field. So going to be a pretty cool event. We wanted to talk to Tanner because when the team had an event there last year, he was the only one that hit a home run. So he could be the ringer tonight for the Predators in the home run derby, which I think will be pretty cool. So looks like we have him on the line now as we stall a little. There we go. Hello to Predators forward Tanner Jeannot, who is on the line with us. Tanner, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Good to talk to you. It's been a minute. How's your summer been?
It's been great. Got back home and got to spend some time with family and get a nice little break, so it was good. I'm excited to be back in Nashville, though.
It's hard to believe that camp opens here in just a couple days, and then you guys will be heading to Switzerland and Prague to open the season. But let's talk about tonight, because you can get the competitive juices going over at Hawkins Field as you and your teammates are going to face some Vanderbilt student athletes in a home run derby. Last year you guys did a thing, just a team thing, and you hit a homer. So are you the ringer on the team when it comes to swinging the bat?
Well, we'll see, I guess. You got to put your money where your mouth is every day. So we'll see who puts them out tonight, but I'm looking forward to it. It should be really fun.
Yeah, how cool is this to, before things get really serious and you start focusing on the season, you're doing something for charity and you can just, you know, quote, so somewhat let your hair down and have a little fun and but still be competitive at the same time?
Yeah, it's great. You know, getting all the guys together to do something, like you said, for charity and just have a good time doing it. It's for a good cause. And it just lets everyone kind of relax before we get down to business. And it's good team building stuff, and everyone gets to know each other really well. Because, you know, when camp starts there, it's all business, and you got to get back to work. So it's really nice to have this little bit of a good team building thing that's not so serious beforehand.
Tanner Jeannot on the line with us, Predators forward. So last year was obviously a big year for you, your first full season in the National Hockey League, 24 goals, and we saw, you know, your line that had kind of established itself the year before was really, really showing things last year. So how do you take the success that you had in your rookie year and build on that in your second full year?
Yeah, you try to get better every day, and that's been my mindset through my whole career, is just try to do something that makes myself a better player and a better person every day. And, you know, it's got me this far, so I'm not going to change that mindset. I'm just going to come into the rink every day wanting to do something to make myself better and, you know, just do my very best for the team to help us get wins every day. So I try to look at it small picture, and then I think that's going to paint a good picture in the long run. So hopefully I can just keep doing that.
How excited are you to see some of the new pieces that the team has added? I mean, you guys, you know, have started to build this core and really build something last year. You made the playoffs again, obviously came up short against the eventual Stanley Cup champions. But some of the moves that David Poile has made in the offseason have to have you pretty excited.
Absolutely, yeah. We made some really good additions to the team. It's always nice to see that everyone's on the same page and everyone wants to win. And, you know, these moves in the offseason, I think, really showed that. And, you know, now it's the team, you know, we're getting all together here in camp, and we're gonna see where we're at after camp. And now it's up to us. We got to get out there on the ice and we have to perform. And, we want to put together a really good year and a really good team, to go far just like everyone else is. So, But like I said before, now it's time to go to work and camp here, and so we can start building the stepstones towards that long run, just like everyone wants.
Talking to Predators forward Tanner Jeannot, something that we talked to a lot of you guys about, because of COVID and because of being such a young team, a lot of you had never played the full gauntlet of an 82-game season, and then you go into the playoffs and what that means. So what were some takeaways that you had from that and maybe some different things that you've done in this offseason to better prepare you for that?
I think my route to the NHL kind of helped prepare me for that. I played 4 years in the Western League and in junior there, so those are 72 game seasons, which is pretty long. It's not quite 82, but it's up there. And then a few years in the minors, and I think a lot of the guys, the younger guys that were getting their kind of first taste of it last year, had the experience to draw from the minors and coming up through the ranks there. So I thought we did pretty well, but obviously there's you have to continue to get better every year. And in the off season, we just tried to train for that. We know how grueling the season can be, especially if there's injuries down the stretch and things like that. So you just try to keep yourself in the best shape, do the right things in the gym, making sure you're taking care of your body. And the more years of experience you get, the more you know what to do. So we're just going to continue on and build off what we learned last year, and have a good year this year.
As we let you go, you're going to have summer training camp in Switzerland and open the season in Prague. How excited are you to be able to do that?
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be my first time overseas, so definitely going to be a cool experience for me in that sense. Really just excited to get the season going and get into some serious competitive hockey and stuff like that. So I'm really excited for the opportunity. It's going to be really cool experience for everyone on the team, so we're all really excited.
Well, Tanner, appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us today. Again, the Smashville Showdown tonight at the Hawkins Field, as you and your teammates will take on some Vanderbilt student athletes in a home run derby and a softball game for charity. We've tweeted out the link to go get tickets at 1025 The Game on Twitter. But good to talk to you, and we will see you at the rink coming up this week.
Awesome, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Tanner Jeannot, Predators forward, joining us here on the show. We will be live at Centennial Sportsplex on Friday as the Predators open up training camp this week. So looking forward to that, and another big season expected for Tanner Jeannot, who had a tremendous year last year, as he's going to be a key part of the Predators offense this year. So appreciate him taking the time to join us. Coming up next, it's one of my favorite segments of the week. Young Nick Kieser has his questions ready as we will go around the National Football League. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.